Yes, it's another special edition of the Jock and Jerno Show because, no, that's not the sticky prawns or the caramel pork here at the George. That's finals time and it's just around the corner. And it's exciting. Two men here, of course, very excited for the massive games which are coming up in a certain milestone, which is just around the corner, the big 300. We might get to that next week. But lots on the agenda, of course. I'm Jay Clark. I want to say a big hello and welcome to you, Braden Cox.
Howdy, Jay.
Good to see you, buddy.
And good to see you, mate.
For possibly the last time, Cocco, the five-time All-Australian, five-time best and fairest winner, three-time Anzac Day medalist, Scott Pendlebury.
Why is he packing it up?
Well, it's the All-Australian team.
Oh, yes.
This week, and he could become a six-time, five-time, which could throw me.
Could throw you for future references.
How are you, Scotty Pendlebury?
Very well, mate. Very well. As you said, the weather turns, doesn't it? I don't know why. Round 23 finishes, and the weather just gets nicer.
Yep.
Great day. We trained today, and it was awesome. Did the sun come through? And
yep.
It's beautiful.
It's good for your old chalky bones.
Yeah, I know. Bit of vitamin D. I've been supplementing the vitamin D.
We're going to get to the footy in a second, but we had a special Herald Sun photo shoot in, what is it, Elwood Bay? What do you call
it?
Elwood
Bay.
What was the beach?
There.
And
the beach is Elwood Beach, but yeah.
Your ability to withstand the freezing temperature, the waters, was
much better than yours.
Was extraordinary because I wanted to get out of there a minute in, Cocker. It's fair to say. I was holding a flash of the great man. Took his shirt off, of course, as you would sort of when you're getting a photo.
We'll tell the story from the start. So because my 300 next week,
yep.
Jay's like, we'll do a story for Herald Sun in the water, you doing some recovery, which is sort of standard stuff.
Yeah, I didn't give him a lot of choice.
I'll do the interview with you if you get in the water with me. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. And then I got my humour out of it because Jay carried on like a 13-year-old getting in the water, said he was going to vomit, it was too cold.
I felt physically ill, Cocko.
So you did the whole interview in the water?
No, I just held the flash.
But we're in there for probably 15, reckon?
It was difficult enough.
15.
But you were like the Terminator out there. You were just like, just oblivious to the freezing temperatures.
Yeah, well, it's just normal because you do it every sort of week. But you, yeah.
I never wanted to do it again.
Jay's like, oh, it's so cold in here. It's so cold in here. I'm like, mate, it's the middle of winter. Yeah. What do you expect? Like spa temperatures. And then when the nether regions hit.
The testicle level.
Poor steel side bottom. He wouldn't have coped too well at the moment, would he? But yeah, Jay let out a nice little roar when they went under, didn't he?
Yeah, it was chilly. How is steel side bottom's knacker bag?
Yeah, he's all right. He was in at the club today. I think he's seen the surgeon this morning. So yeah, expected to play. And I was in the drill that he did it in. He got back heeled in the nuts and just went down. He tried to get up and keep going because when you get hit in the nuts, everyone knows that feeling of like you feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
And he just tried to sort of get in the main drill and he just couldn't stand up straight. And he's like, oh, I reckon I've done something serious here.
Oh, boy.
Got the scan and ruptured testicle.
Did he show you by any chance?
No, he didn't. He had surgery that night. Yeah. He's pretty much literally straight into the club and gone.
Yeah.
Got fixed. It was just... Like, we've had some weird injuries and stuff this year, but that takes the cake. Like, it was almost a joke. Getting ready for finals, playing Essendon, sort of big game. They'll lose one of your best players with a ruptured testicle.
Just a busted nut.
How did he take the news, Steele? Because he's a happy-go-lucky guy. He's one of our favourites here on the Jock and Jerno pod. Was he sort of... can he have a laugh about it now?
He can have a laugh about it now, but he just said, like, even watching the game, like he said, like, he couldn't even get too into it because he was so sore.
Ooh.
And I was just like, Jesus Christ, like it's pretty stiff.
Can't laugh if it knocks around your pillbag, which has just been operated on. Look, we're going to talk about some of your most memorable finals because it is finals time, so we want to get in the swing of finals. As I said, we're going to talk about your milestone next week, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be a belter.
That'll be big.
We're going to talk about your favourite finals. We're going to have a look at this the first week of finals. Yep. Matchups and talk about what you like there, who's going to win. And we've also got to discuss your teammate Darcy Moore because it's one of the most extraordinary things, Scott, that I've ever seen, that a man come off the ground late in the game, sat on the bench in his tracksuit top, but then, as Nathan Buckley says, there's no injury, there's nothing wrong with his hamstring. So this to me seems like a complete psych out for young Darcy.
Are we talking about this now or you want to get to it?
No, we're going to talk about it's the big story. Let's talk about that now.
Yeah, I think with Darce on the weekend, he had some awareness there. And
what is awareness? What the hell is awareness?
I don't know. I'm not.
Do you know what that is, Coggo?
You know your hamstrings there.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, like I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't have speed. So I don't get awareness.
Your hamstrings are safe and sound in your legs, aren't they?
Yeah, mate? Absolutely. Like then, no, there's no danger of them ever going. So, but I think when you've, you know, like him or any guys that have had soft tissue problems, and I heard Trent Cotchin speak about it not long ago that the hardest part for him was actually mentally just letting himself go and go for it.
Yeah.
Like Darcy probably late in the fourth quarter or middle of the fourth quarter feels that awareness and thinks, Jesus, if I potentially doing something or am I about to do something?
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest, what he's thinking, but I can imagine those sort of things start going through your head. And
yep.
Probably also a factor in the decision-making might have been that, you know, we were locked into finals and you're, for the sake of the game, you don't want to lose Darcy. So
yep.
I'm not sure what the decision or how they come to it, but he ended up, like, he only really missed the last 15 minutes of the game. Mm. Even though it was pretty, like, wasn't sealed by any stage of that stage when we lost him and Matty Schoenberg was down as well because he got knocked out earlier. But the good news is that it is clean and he's now got a really important 2 weeks of training for him to
very important
build that confidence and just make sure that he knows that he's right to go. So, if anything, it's probably if anything for Darcy, it's probably reassuring that you got through almost a game and nothing was there and the scan come back clean and all those type of things. So
do you pick up around the club that he is sort of constantly worried about it, or this is a genuine challenge for him week in, week out?
No, I try not to talk to guys. Like, I think the last thing you'd want any player if you're injured is people always saying, oh, how's your hamstring or how's your calf or how's that AC joint or whatever. So I think a really good sign for us was that he came out in full train today.
Yeah.
So full train, which to me means that he's not thinking about it. He's out on the track. You know, I did beat him in a couple of one-on-ones today on the lead, which is...
Didn't look like it in a few photos I saw.
Yeah, Darcy did mark a couple, but I got my fair share. So, so look, that's, you know, he's taken a good step today, trained fully. And then we train again Friday, train fully Friday.
Do you think he'll play?
Huh?
You think he'll play?
Yeah. If he's right to go, he plays. Go back to the halfway point of the year.
Yeah.
Everyone was raving about how good of a player is and that sort of stuff. So
all Australians set up back early.
So I think the beauty of the week off for Darcy is he can have a real crack this week on the track knowing that there's not a game on the weekend and just prove to himself that, you know, I am right, I'm good to go, I'm ready. So,
but does the intensity of practice match the intensity of a game? And you wonder, like, from an external point of view, you wonder when Darcy Moore runs out onto the MCG in this massive first final, I cannot wait for it, you guys versus Geelong, whether there's something in the back of his mind, just a twinge of doubt, and whether that comes back. And because, you know, even, you know, as in the Herald Sun today, the sports psychologist saying that physical ailment can become a mental problem. Clearly that's the hurdle he's got to overcome.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that's why I said, I think blessing in disguise is that he does have a week to train and get as close to a game feeling as he can. So he's got to cook himself at training and then go again and get up and go again and go again and just keep, and then bang, you got confidence. And, you know, when you go out there on Friday week, there's going to be an element of how am I going to go? But everyone's got that, you know. You look at Darcy's situation, go back 12 months, like Goldie would have had that way worse than what Darcy's going to have it. Coming off ACL, one practice game, straight over to Perth, play on Josh Kennedy, who's in form. You've just got to let it go. Finals, you've just got to lay it all on the line and you've got to be prepared to do it. So, as I said, like Darcy's a minor little incident where he didn't feel confident. And then great news for everyone that he'd come back clean and now he's got a clean run at first final. And as I said, if he preps well and he's confident, there's no doubt he'll play.
So important, because then, you know, you got Ruffy there as well. Mate, they can both support Brady Grundy in the ruck. So clearly he's a very important player and you do base a lot of your attack off his rebound, intercept, all that, off centre half back. But just going back to when you said that you were leading against Darcy, what is the greatest thing about when you take an overhead mark sort of in the forward half, Scott, I find, is the look of surprise on your face, because it's sort of like, I got it. I did take it. Woohoo! You're an exceptional player, Scott. We've all lauded you. And maybe you're a five-time, a six-time, five-time, all those trophies. But when you do pluck one above your head in the forward half, it just gives me great delight.
And when the set shot goes through.
You've been better.
Pretty good.
You've been
year.
Better in front of the sticks this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bragging about his 11 goals before.
Yeah, well, I kicked 11. I think I'm 11-5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I know.
Dead eye.
I've had to defend you on Twitter for your set shot goal kicking for many years. So thank you.
It was a bit bloody skew-iff, but
couple of.
He's paying.
I took a mark on.
See what I mean? I took one.
Was it Friday we played Essendon? I took one Friday. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I ended up having to slide back as a backman and play on. Begley?
Not oh, Mark yeah, Begley, Josh Begley.
And I kicked it long to me versus him, and there was another pair. And I was like, oh, what's going to happen here? And I ended up like sort of fumbling the first one and grabbing the second one. I'm like, that's a mark. That's a mark.
Well done.
I showed the ball to the umpire. Yes. Like, I marked it. But I am. I must have. Like, if I take an overhead mark or a contested mark, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
Like,
and you were an outstanding.
That's a big tick. That's a big tick in my game. Well, I can get one.
Yeah, when you contested mark. Many great strengths, Scott. Yeah, that's not one of them.
No.
Hey, we do take the P155, and I tweeted when you're running rings around the Bombers age. What are you, 31 now? 32, 31?
31.
Genuine veteran. That's when you know you're sort of getting to the end, when people start calling in the copy.
Yeah, you tweeted me saying something about old man.
Old man Penderbury. Old man Penderbury. Taking the piss again. I copped a lot of feedback about that, Cocko. Like, sort of a lot of... You know, people saying, get your head out of his ass, that sort of stuff. There was a bit of social media backlash, but
Essendon didn't boo me.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Little wins,
mate.
But your disposal was elite again. And as I said, five time. Will it mean much to you if you were to get the nod? We tried to do the team. It's a tough team to pick.
I think it's a good honour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've always been a big sort of believer. I think, like, the top 40 is great recognition. So, because, you know, you try and do a 22, you could put any of those 40 in the 22. There's probably, you could put any of the 50 really in the top. And you've got a great side. So there's great players. It's great to be acknowledged amongst the great players. And I find that it's pretty humbling. And then if you get in or you don't, I still don't feel like it diminishes your year or anything like that. Yeah.
Cocko, last week I was trying to tell the chief footy writer, Mark Robinson, to get Scott Pendlebury in and make him captain as well, because he does such a great job, but he didn't even put him in the team. I told Mark it was disrespectful. I noticed he left him out. You were the first one left out, but I took it up with the big chief. I had a beef with him.
Head to head.
It's finals time, Scott, which is, as I said, very exciting. What are your most memorable finals? You've been playing for how many years now? 16?
No,
16 years?
13.
13.
Or maybe 14. I don't know. Maybe this is my 14th.
Take out the grand finals.
The finals bore you, mate. Is that
No. It's been a long day. Yeah.
You played in some big ones.
Yeah. Take out the grand finals.
Take out the grannies. Yeah. One you were quite
so
sick
they've
for.
Got do them in order. 2007.
Yeah, you started young, didn't you?
Yeah. I was fortunate. My second year, played in a prelim versus Geelong, lost by 5 points. So that finals campaign, I think it was the semi-final. Is that what it's called before the prelim? Semi?
Yeah. Yep.
Played West Coast over there, who were the reigning premiers. They didn't have Cousins. They didn't have Judd. But they still had Kerr. They had, you know, Braun, Embley, Lynch, Cox, all those guys.
Yep.
Glass. We went over there, pretty young side, knocked off Sydney the week before. And, we weren't expected to beat them, but we ended up knocking them off in extra time. That was at the old Perth Stadium, not the new one that it is
Subi.
Now. Subi, and it was just like unbelievable, like the roar. And because we sort of, they were like two goals in front all night type thing, and then we last quarter we closed the gap. And and a lot of our younger guys played a big part in that. Like a lot of guys that played in the 2010 flag played a big part in the 2007 semi-final over there. So that was... Early, that was like a phenomenal experience to just go over there. And, I kicked the goal in extra time, I think, to put us 6 up, and then Swanee kicked the next one to put us 12 up, and then Meadows kicked the last one, I think, or Chris Bryan maybe kicked the last one to put us 18 points up or whatever. We sort of kicked 3 goals in the second bit of extra time, I think it was. And Marty Clark, Clokey, Heretia Lumumba, Alan Toohey, Daisy Thomas, so many different guys, Swanee, Didak, that played in that. Played in that flag side, so that was a phenomenal experience. I was 19 or 20 at the time.
26 possessions, 7 clearances.
Yeah, and that's in the second half. I played all midfield. Like Mick just come out and was like, Swan, Pendlebury, used to midfield whole second half. Like I don't know, he just must have seen something within the game and just wanted us in there. So yeah, that was unreal because it was my first big win away. Mm. That was my first ever final away. And like, it was, it's like, hear a pin drop when we kick a goal. Yep. And then they kick a goal and it was deafening, or they got a tackle, it was deafening. So yeah, that was that one. And then
that was the making of the away win psyche, or a significant step in that?
Oh, I think.
Because you guys have always been good on the road.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that being good on the road, ever since I've been there, we've prided ourselves on travelling well. And we've always done fairly well when we've travelled. 2008, I remember.
Hang on, not finished with this yet.
Why?
You won by, I was a bit flat with you that night because I was reporting on that game.
Oh, yeah.
On deadline, which is already tight when it just lasts four quarters, but then when it goes into extra time, really does put you under the
result.
Yeah, really puts you under the pump. So I wasn't that happy. So that was 2007.
Yeah.
What else have you? What else is one of the most memorable? 2008.
2008
elimination final.
Elimination final. So I think we finished eighth, and we played Adelaide, who were fifth. We went over there, so they had McLeod, Burton. Scott Thompson was like dominant midfielder. Tyson Edwards, Scott Stevens, Ben Rutten. They were, you know, a pretty experienced side. Yep. Just finished fifth.
They were in the zone around about that time.
Yeah, and I think they just missed out on top four as well. Yep. I think it might have even, Rashudo might have even been playing. Yeah, we had, once again, we had a pretty young side that went over there.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we had a few more injuries in 2008, then we had 2007. And
you trailed at halftime by two goals.
Yeah, and Maxi tagged Scott Thompson. So Maxi had been playing as a third defender all year, and then in the final, Mick put him to Scott Thompson, and Maxi did a phenomenal job. And I think we ended up winning by about four goals or five goals, but it was day game at the old footy park. It was 33 degrees, so it was steaming hot.
Yep.
Like, and, you know, they were touted as, you know, the fittest side. You remember under Neil Craig, they were all like sort of robots. Like
the Crobots.
So fit and just fucking muscly and whatnot. So
played
over there and really tight game. I remember just hanging in there all day. And then sort of like late in the third quarter, we got two goals up and then started to break them. And then, that was one of the better wins. And I think the following week we got knocked over by St Kilda. But still to have those wins where you go on the road and get through and prevail, like they were huge, especially on the road, because on the road it's so hard to win.
Led by 20 points at three-quarter time, and we ended up winning the game by 31 points. But Scott Stevens, for them, kicked six goals. Who the hell was playing on Stevo that
six.
Day?
I think he was like, he literally kept them in it. I think it was Presty and Jimmy Clement maybe that were playing on him. Sorry if it wasn't, I just threw them under the bus, but pretty sure Presty would have been playing somewhere near him.
Chris Dawes kicked three for you, and John Anthony, remember him?
Yeah,
he kicked three.
Yeah.
Quite a
and I think,
straight set shot there for a
so
while.
That's what I mean. We had a really young side, but just played well and well prepared, well drilled under Mick. And then what else was there?
So 2010
prelim versus Geelong. I think everyone sort of remembers that. Like 2009 final series, I broke my leg in the first contest of the first final versus St Kilda. So my memory is that the finals, I had to sit out and watch them.
Did you nearly get back for that?
I nearly got back for the prelim.
Yeah.
No, I would have got back for the grand final had we have made it, but we lost the prelim to Geelong by heaps.
Didn't you have to jump off of
the original was played St Kilda, lost, had surgery on my leg after the St Kilda game that night, played Adelaide the following week, won, and then I went back at the club that night and run for the first time, and then I was like, I can run. Like, I'm a legitimate chance to play in this prelim. Trained on the MCG on the Wednesday.
Yep.
Trained fine.
Yep.
Well, next day, woke up. I was like, oh, it's a little bit sore on my leg, like blown up a little bit. And Butters, I think, could tell. And he was like, righto, we'll put you through a little bit more stuff. And then the last thing he wanted me to do was, so you know how you box jump up to something?
Yep.
You stand on the box and jump and land on one leg.
Yeah.
So I jumped off and landed on one leg, but it was my good leg.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know what leg you land on. Now the other leg. And I tried to do it and I landed it, but it just
hurt.
Killed me. And I just said, oh, look, not this week then. And then we were like, all right, can't play tomorrow night. Well, let's play the grand final in 2009, get ready for that. And we didn't make it, but yeah.
Do you reckon they would get you to do that now? Jump off the box and land on one leg or your broken leg?
Yeah, probably. For a grand final, you'd want to know that.
Good
guy could go. Yeah.
So 2010 prelim, you come up against a rampaging Geelong side. They obviously coming off 2009 premiership, 2010, but Mick had that, what he called mixed box.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's what he called it.
Yeah.
He called it mixed box, and that was the frontal pressure which sort of took the competition by storm that game. So it was really, I remember it being a matchup of Geelong's creative run, and they attacked the game off half back, and your frontal pressure.
Yeah.
And what happened in the first quarter?
I think the game was almost over at quarter time. And that's not being disrespectful, but I think we were like...
You hit them like a freight train.
I think we kicked 7-1 in the first quarter, and just you sort of have those nights where like sort of everything was going right. Do you remember Lee Brown kicked that big barrel and it bounced almost sideways to get back in for a goal?
Yeah, it was an absolute right.
He kicked like a mongrel from 55. Oh, no, he kicked it from about 70, mongrel, because we had all the space out the back. And he's just launched one into the forward line, and it bounced on like a right angle back to goal and went in, and it was just sort of like...
It was insane.
Everything was going our way. So, you know, usually if you dominate a quarter, you might kick 4-3. We kicked 7 straight or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just our pressure game was working, and we were able to really pressure them and force them to exit and stuff. And I just... One, like, you know, Gary Ablett Jr.'s best player of our era. But I just remember once in the... I think it was the first quarter, late in the first quarter... Someone took a mark, he got around the back, got a handball, like they like to do, start their chain. I remember him just sort of looking up and just, he didn't know where to go. And I was like, I've not really seen him ever do that before. And then we're able to pressure him, and then he just launched it out and just kicked it straight to Harry O'Brien, who was, you know, meters in the clear. And I was like, we're pressuring him the right way here. We're getting enough turnovers. Like, but yeah, I don't know, it's on your terms. Yeah. And then that night, the crowd and that was just mental. But it's one of those ones, like, whenever you played Geelong for that side back then, and even today, you just never feel safe against Geelong, because as good as you're going, they can score as quick as you can at times. So that was a pretty special game, just to get over them and move into a grand final for the first time for a lot of guys.
It was a dramatic night too, because Mark Thompson's future, that was his last game as coach, I think, of Geelong, and then Gary Ablett left to the Gold Coast. So there were some issues bubbling away for the Cats. I don't think they were as on song or on point as they could have been with some stuff happening in the background. I reckon that was the first night too I ever heard the Collingwood.
Yeah, that's right. That's when it started.
I think that was the night that we heard the chant first.
Yeah, it happened in the first quarter, and it was just so loud. It was like deafening. Yeah.
And did you know, are you in a game where you feel like it's in your pocket? Like, were you thinking throughout that second half, like?
Yeah, in the second half, you could feel guys, especially in our team, being like, grand final next week.
Yeah.
We're up by 60 points.
Yeah.
Let's just kick the ball around a bit.
Yeah.
Stay out of harm's way.
Yeah.
Which we did.
Yeah.
And I think we ended up winning by like 40 points, but the game was well and truly over.
And the other subplot of that is that Nick Maxwell, great Geelong man, and Matthew Scarlett, another great Geelong man, absolutely hate each other, I think it's fair to say. So I think it was around about that time that there were some significant on-field barbs, which might have even been a bit of trash talking off the field when they saw each other, but they don't like each other.
I was pretty naive to that sort of stuff back
then.
You just
were focused on the game.
Probably still am. Don't really understand it even now.
Was that the dreadlock era? Do you reckon?
No, 2011. Oh, dreadlocks.
You know what the worst look ever was? Just post dreadlocks, where you cut them and you had those little
like patchiness. Then I had to get it shaved properly.
That was gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Continuing our Scott's most memorable finals podcast. Let's move along to, was it the Luke Ball goal?
Yeah, Luke Ball in 2011 against Hawthorn.
Tight game.
One that we probably, looking back on, were very lucky to get through. Like, Hawthorn come in with a plan, a way to try and attack us differently.
You were invincible in the early part of that year.
We're invincible all year. We only lost to Geelong.
Yeah.
Like, no one got near us all year but Geelong and that prelim. First final, we played the Bulldogs, won by 13 goals.
So were you running out of steam or not?
I don't think we're running out of steam. We just had one side we just couldn't get past. And
Hawthorn.
Geelong. We couldn't get past. We lost the Granny to Geelong in 2011.
That's right.
But Hawthorn was the first side that really challenged us, tested us. Like, probably for the first time that whole year, I thought we might make the grand final.
Yeah.
Because I thought they got out to a 3-goal lead, and goals were hard to come by all night. They closed the game down really well, defended us really well. And then we got in front, and then Buddy Franklin kicked that ridiculous goal. Remember, like, left foot, wrong side for a left footer, dribble kick, Chris Tarrant right up his clacker, dribbled it through, and I was just like, We're not gonna make it. We're not gonna win. And then I remember just that stoppage where the ball sort of bobbled out the back. Bally was there.
Yeah.
Left foot snap goal. Just the noise was insane.
Yeah.
That was different. That was more like relief when we won that game.
Oh yeah.
It was like, oh,
because you were expected
we didn't
to
cock it up.
Yeah.
Type thing. Whereas the year before it was like excitement, buzz, first granny, lots of stuff.
Go get 'em.
Second one was sort of like, for me, I felt like, oh, we're expected to get to the granny. We didn't cock it up. cock it up or choke or whatever it was. So.
Does that add more pressure and tension? Do you feel that in out,
no,
out there?
No, because you have a certain sense of swagger, I think, and invincibility. But yeah. when that sort of gets, you know, hacked out a little bit, you're like, yeah. Jesus, we could lose. And
yeah.
as I said, credit to Hawthorn. Like, you have a look at the side that played then and went on to do some pretty amazing things. So yeah. they were a good side, well coached, and I said, like, tried a little tactic that we hadn't really. They really closed the game and down on us. And then when they had the ball, slowed it down. Denied us. I think that was a pretty low scoring game.
Yeah, that swagger you talk about. I've seen that before when you come through the George, the beautiful front doors at the front there.
They
that,
got his coffee ready for
yeah, him. Everyone over there, there's Scott Penderman.
Do you remember where you were when Buddy kicked that goal? I actually watched it just before and it was 3 minutes to go. Taz was right on him.
Yeah.
Taz had done a really good job, pushed him towards the boundary.
Sprinting back to the back 50 to try and help.
And of course, this was a. Masterfully crafted plan by your then coach Mick Malthouse. He said since that stoppage setup was something that had been well rehearsed, well practiced. It was sort of one of the best pages of his premiership playbook, and it just worked out perfectly. I think he said that you actually trained that play on the Thursday, and you know, credit to you guys for executing his very clear plan, Scott.
Yeah, it was we did practice stoppages at training.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's ever like a. I can't remember ever having like a drawn up play of what was going to happen.
No, I think he's claimed it.
Oh well, if he's claimed it, well then it happens. So you never argue with the coach, mate. If they're always right, but yeah, I'd say if it was on that side, it probably would have been me that should have been coming on my left foot, not Bawley, but Bawley was a very good left foot snap. Yeah.
When you meet Luke Ball now, like, do you guys or you catch up for your chats and stuff?
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever reference? Is that something you guys would ever reference?
No, he's pretty humble. Ball.
Really?
He'd never bring it up.
Right.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
I catch up with my mates when we talk about our sporting exploits. We always talk about the corner threes we drained back in the day. Yeah.
Better than you were.
Yeah.
But no, it's, all those moments though in finals, like the, you know, same before, like John Anthony goal and Bawley goal. I don't even know whatever else there is. It's like, well, you just remember where you were, like their moments. Like you remember where you were in that moment. How like nuts you to celebrate, the crowd has said, like, it just goes like this deafening noise. It's like white noise, just so loud. It's pretty cool.
This is a good one. What's your moment? What's your favourite moment? What's the Scott Penderbury moment that you can bring up and brag about?
The loudest it was, I kicked a goal against Geelong in 2010 prelim on my right foot.
Yeah.
I think that put us about 37 points up in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And, I just remember, like, running through the 50, kicking it and just...
Shut the gate. Shut the gate, boys.
Just went straight. Around. As soon as I kicked it off my boot, it was straight through the middle and I was like...
Yeah.
The crowd just went nuts and, yeah, it's like one of those things. It's like... Six goal in a row. We're on a roll. Everything's going our way. It felt pretty good.
Shut that gate.
That was when I was working on an edit once and Ben Johnson was working at the club.
Yeah.
And he walked back in from one of his many long lunches.
Yeah.
And he said, what's this highlights package you're doing? And I was just saying, oh, it's the best finals. And he's like, what about the one where I got around Lingy?
Cameron Ling, yeah,
kicked
yeah.
It stepped from 50.
Stepped in the other way and then kicked the goal.
He literally stood there until I put it in the end.
That's good form.
Yeah, it's great. As I said, you remember the moments. So that moment to Jono was huge.
Is there anything that compares to the crushing feel? Like, what's the other side of the coin? Obviously, the grand final defeat to Geelong. Is there anything that sits with you or is there one which burns with you more than others, a defeat? A September
in
defeat.
Finals,
yeah.
Like obviously, Port Adelaide, the year we finished fifth, I think in 2013.
Yeah,
we played them and they were eighth at the G.
Oh, that was the Heath Shaw game.
Yeah,
and Heath Shaw
went mental,
a bit,
didn't he?
Lost his marbles.
Yeah,
he went completely chopper.
At Angus Mumfries.
That was his last game for the club.
Yeah, that was a pretty like, sort of I don't know, just everything just went wrong and they played. Really well, and like we ended up losing by like 8 goals or something, 40 points. And it was like, out there, it was just like flat, so flat, and just we just couldn't get going. I was like, Jesus, like I think we just missed the top four by percentage, that far away from a double chance, and you got knocked over by 8 goals. And
that hurt,
just after it, like sounds weird, but like you know, with the Mad Monday and stuff like that, it's like almost like you don't want to do it. It's like, our season's finished, but it's not. Like, I can't believe it's done, like it shouldn't be done. Like, we should be training today, we should be. Preparing for another game, like, because once you go to finals, the possibilities are endless, but the finish is so sudden and you just can't believe it stops.
Yeah,
like, and that's so in 2 weeks' time after the first final, two sides are done, and it's just brutal because when you go into that game, you're so optimistic that you'll win it, and then what do we do next week? Who are we going to get? And then all of a sudden it's done. Siren goes, finished.
Yep.
And then we played Sydney in another prelim in 2012 up there. And we're pretty competitive in the first half. And they just blew us away in the second. They hurt. The prelims hurt because you know how close and how hard they get to. And prelims are the best atmospheres as well. Yep. Like grand finals are amazing atmosphere, but prelims because it's less corporate, more crowd. Like, you know, last first Richmond last year is like obviously one of the better finals that I've ever played in. But that was 100,000 people, 50,000 Collingwood, 50,000 Richmond, barely any neutrals. And it is like, feels like the game's on, but in the crowd it's on as well. You know, it's like they kick a goal, they're trying to barrack louder than Collingwood fans or whatever. And that's just
high stakes with your mates in a prelim.
Oh, it's the best. And the prelims are I think coaches say they're almost like the hardest game to win, prelims, because they're just, there's never an easy prelim. And you look at Hawthorn, who's probably been the most successful team in my career, all their prelims have been by like under 10 points. Like they're brutal games to win.
Tell us more about that, the Sydney prelim, because that, you're coming off J-Mac? Was that one?
Yeah, yes. J-Mac. So
tell us the feeling amongst the boys, because you're going up there for a prelim and you've got to get motivated, but you go to the funeral and then make the flight.
Yeah, so we went to the funeral the day before the game, I think it was, and then flew up to Sydney and played. Yeah, it was, I think we're focused on the job at hand to play. But once the game sort of fell away, guys were just that mentally drained and there's that much emotion. And even after the game, it wasn't so much about winning or losing. It was just like, let's stick together for the next period of time and get around guys that are hurting and stuff like that. Because J-Mac had some of his best mates were playing in that side and they've just lost a mate 7 days earlier. So it was, that was a really different experience because it wasn't about, you know, and even after the game, Bucks wasn't about, you know, we didn't do this well tonight, didn't do this. It was more like, let's look after each other, get around each other, really support. It was different.
Another finals campaign in a little over a week's time. What do you got planned for the weekend, mate? What's your preparation?
Yeah, so we train Friday night. So,
do you?
Yeah, so we're going to train Friday night, which is cool. So,
are you doing a scratch match?
No, I'm not doing a scratch match, but yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's weird because it's a finals bye. I don't even remember. This time last year, I was in hospital because I was crook.
So hang on a sec. You're training at night time to replicate the
nighttime the game conditions, blah, blah, blah. So, and I was saying, like, I don't remember what I did last year because this time last year, I was in hospital before the finals. So I've got a bit crook. So, it's been, feels weird. It's like my body knows that I've got a week off. So it's like I feel so fresh and so ready to go. And Friday night will be a decent session, I reckon. Not a match sim, but you know, plenty of full ground work and just getting a really good blowout because you're not, you know, I'm not going to be sore on Saturday from it because it'll be a bit more K's in the legs type thing.
Yeah, that'd be a big test for Darcy.
And then, I think there'd be like Darcy, Geordie,
Pillbag, Sidey,
guys like that. Like a great opportunity, as I said, to build confidence again because as I said, once you're in the season, you don't get a chance to have a week off and be like, right, let's do a match. Like training session. So, cool. And then weekend off. So both Critters got a final for Ballwin. Ryan's got a final for Port Melbourne. So I'll just be at the footy all weekend watching those boys play and a bit of family time out for breakfasts, things like that.
Bit of Jaxy time.
Might get a babysitter, go out for dinner with the lovely.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, come to the George, 162 Collins Street.
Absolutely. Get the pork, sticky
prawns.
Pork. Yeah. The prawns.
Beef.
So, and this is the first time in recent memory that there's no VFL playing.
Yeah, so our VFL side's finished.
Does that put you at a disadvantage getting players ready?
I think ideally your VFL side would be up and going because then those guys could play this weekend. And even as you progress, they can stay with you and play and they're motivated to, you know, by winning the championship or finals or grand final, whatever it is. So, I think it's not ideal, but we talk about all year that we're one club and one team, so their role now is to help best prepare us for what lies ahead.
Jaden Stevenson, good game in the VFL.
Played well.
No doubt he plays, right?
Yep. Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Just pretend you're the coach for a second. You pick him?
Yep.
Yeah, he definitely gets picked.
You have a look at how he was playing before he got rubbed out.
Yep.
You know, kicked 21 goals in 10 games or something. And
he's fit, right?
Fit. Yeah, he played. It was really good to see him play on the weekend and after his suspension was served Friday night, able to play the next day, which was completely understandable,
Ten games.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous
decision. Journo's a bit salty about that one, that no one picked it up?
Doesn't make any sense. For as long as we've grown up in football.
So if we played Friday, right?
Yep.
and then we played 3 days later the AFL side, would you not want him to play?
I've always understood a game to meet a complete round.
Or so like, a weekend.
Yeah, like that's all, always meant that. So why would you delineate for an integrity issue? Like Gill's...
10 AFL games, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Did you serve 10 AFL games?
Yeah, but when have you ever
Did
known...
Play Friday night for
have
us?
You ever known that a game is not a complete round or a complete weekend? It's been like that since the dawn of time.
Well, I feel like if I got rubbed out for a week
yeah.
and Collingwood played Friday, Sunday, I would miss just the Friday night, not the Sunday.
Well, except for when you're suspended.
Now, if I got suspended for one game,
yeah.
I'd miss the Friday and be able to play my next game whenever that is.
Okay, so...
You're just stuck in the cycle that a game occurs every week.
I'm stuck in the rules. That's where I'm stuck.
Yeah, so just like, get out of the rules, mate.
Well, if you get suspended for the first time in your career, you've never been suspended, have you?
Uh-uh.
No. If you ever hit someone with those fists of fury of yours, then that means you would be out for, guess what, the whole weekend. Anyway, Stevo's going to be playing, and that's great. By the way, a little sports bet update. $1.60, the Cats are favourite for that one versus Collingwood $2.20.
Didn't sports bet plugs now.
Didn't see the humour in that one. Did yeah, man. Yeah. Funny guy. Hey, Geelong's doing a lot. Chris Scott, unusually for me,
you just
doing
call yourself a funny guy.
Yeah,
well, that's funny.
We're laughing at our own jokes. Yeah. We've got to move forward. Chris Scott's doing a lot of whinging about the finals fixture. Unusually for me. Why would the coach be sooking about this? Get your CEO, get your president to take up the fight. Why is that? He should just be talking about we'll play anywhere, anytime, we'll play in a shoebox, all that sort of stuff. But he's been quite aggressive on that. West Coast versus Essendon, and then you take on Geelong at the MCG. GWS versus the Bulldogs on Saturday night. It's Brisbane versus Richmond. But you, and I told you this is the way how it would play out, of course.
I do get what he's saying, Chris Scott. Like the fairness issue.
Huh?
I get what he's saying.
Oh, you want to play it down at GMHBA Stadium?
I know what he's saying, but like there's so many things in our game that aren't fair.
Well, here we go, Cocko.
Don't you think?
Go on.
So no,
what do you mean?
So like I know what he's saying by like because they finished on top, they should get a home final at their home ground.
They play home games at the MCG where they play the Easter Monday blockbuster every year.
Yeah, but if they had their preference.
Cocko.
I know.
When you check the fixture, Geelong versus Hawthorn, they choose it. Where do they play?
MCG.
And they've done that for how many years in a row?
Forever.
Wow. Yeah.
But they're saying that they feel like there's an advantage to play. But I think his argument is not so much about the whole final series, because he's spoken about other clubs.
Mm-hmm.
The grand final as well should be played at the team on the higher position. Of the ladder.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
I would have no problem if the AFL said if West Coast, like last year, us play West Coast in the final, they're second, we're third, the final is in Perth because they are the high ranked side. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. And we'll play and GWS make it. Yep. And we'll have 26,000 at the showground. So that's all the corporates that fit in. So there'll be not one single football fan at a GWS versus Collingwood grand final. You reckon that'd be a good idea? So if you were CEO for a day, Scott, you would rubber stamp that move, would you?
I think the rider on top of it all is like the capacity that the ground has to hold people. So
oh, hang on.
So
got his claim.
In Sydney, would you play it at ANZ?
Yeah, but then it's still uneven. Then you're going back to uneven.
Yeah, you're saying it has to be at the home ground.
Yeah, but it could be at ANZ.
Oh, we punched a real hole in that argument.
I wouldn't care if it was that. But the one thing that I would say, if you wanted to make it that, every club needs their own ground.
Yeah.
Because
so Collingwood goes back to Vic Park.
We technically then play away games at Marvel.
Yeah.
Because that's not our home stadium. But so us and Richmond have the same home ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an advantage to either of us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But let's,
so like if we had, say, Vic Park and Richmond had Punt Road Oval, then...
If we had unlimited money, you're right, we'd all have an MCG, but we don't.
But I think it's done now.
Yeah.
But there's more things that are uneven about the competition than where the finals are played.
Yeah. Scott,
the draw.
I admire your thoughts on a lot of things
the
about
draw
football.
Is uneven.
You have me covered on the strategy and many other millions of football topics.
Do you not think the draw is uneven?
But if you take over as CEO, we're going to be playing the grand final at Showground Stadium. Now, of course, the draw is uneven, but and I would love it to be
play everyone once.
Yeah, that would be great, idealistically. But unless you and I both want a 20% pay cut,
you wouldn't get a 20%
pay
cut.
You would. If you think Lewis
so
Martin
the
from
NFL.
Channel, huh?
NFL.
Because they've got a bazillion people over there.
How many people were interested in round 23?
How many people were interested in round 23?
No, it's actually pretty good.
Heaps.
Why? Yeah.
Because it determines finals positions.
There's so much interest in it because of what happened shapes finals. That means if you play everyone once, round 15, 16, 17 is all cutthroat and there's going to be meaning to if you win or lose. We have too many games where it's like, it's all right, they can afford to drop this one because if they win the next two, they can still make it.
Yep.
Have 17 games and it's a lot more less margin for error. You can't afford to have lulls.
Yeah.
Do or die. So the people are going to watch.
Even with this season, they'll be like, round two, Collingwood needs to come out and win round three, otherwise they're in trouble.
What are you going
to
feel?
Supporters go to the snow or go to Europe for
mate,
4 weeks. They come back and they just get, we'll just watch 23 in the final.
Where's Channel 7 going to come up with that extra 500 hours of commercial TV, primetime commercial TV, which they could sell between rounds 17 to 23 and all the ads they need to fill? Lewis Martin is not
watching.
Paying as much.
Lewis Martin goes to the same coffee shop I do in Elwood.
Will you ask him?
I'll ask him.
Ben and Jerry's, what's it called?
Jerry's. Jerry's Milk Bar. I'll see him a little bit.
Yeah. Will you ask him? Just say, would you be prepared to pay as much for an 18-round season?
Would you be prepared to pay as much if it was 17 games but more player access?
Were you going to give a little bit?
So pre-game media, post-game,
what do you got for us?
That'd be a better product.
Something special?
Then people might stay after the game because it's like all-ins with media. Might be able to have the broadcast an extra hour after the game, hear from all your favourite players on the TV, sell that time.
I've seen your little I've seen your halftime interviews.
Wow. I'm not a big fan of those ones.
Oh, very good. Before we finish, you must be looking forward to next Friday night. It's a great challenge against the Cats. What do you got to do well?
Most important thing in footy is kick straight.
That's
finals.
Right.
I think that you actually have to take the most of your chances in finals, so when you get chances and creating opportunities, you've got to find the best shot on goal and do those things really well.
Yeah,
I think that's seriously one of the most overlooked things in all of footy is the ability to hit the scoreboard well.
Good call.
So,
how many steps is your goal kicking routine?
7 and 7.
Isn't that amazing that a person who asked a team of players what their routines were and not many of those players could tell him, which is concerning.
Yeah, so, I think that's seriously, you look at some finals in the past, sides that kick well and kick straight early or when their chances arise, keeps you in the game.
Yep.
On the weekend, Friday night against Essendon, we kicked 18 points.
Yep.
But why don't you train goal kicking more?
We do train it, but it's just something, and I've seen it my whole career, you do a lot of time goal kicking, just get out there. Fatigue, angle, little man on your shoulder.
Yeah. Because when I did goal kicking practice, you sort of take the piss a bit, but now it's more serious,
Yeah, there's dedicated blocks in training for goal kicking routine and practice and that. Mm-hmm. And then after training, you have some comps for coffees or whatever. But I think that one. And then the obvious one, the midfield battle always against Geelong versus our midfield, us versus them is going to be on. It's going to be huge. And
Danger's hot.
Yeah, he's
hot.
Red hot, isn't he? So hopefully he cools off a little bit in the week off and runs out of touch. But he's in some serious form.
28 coaches' votes out of a possible 30 in his last three games.
Well, you only have to watch the weekend game against Carlton. He was the best forward and midfielder on the ground.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. So hopefully I don't get that matchup.
You're going to need a fire extinguisher out there. Now, if you were picking the All-Australian team on Wednesday night, who would be Pendle's pick? Who would you pick that sort of maybe a less obvious target, or who would you absolutely want in the team that the All-Australian selectors can't leave out?
The best way to look at it is if you had to pick a team tomorrow to play for your life, who's a player that you would want on the field for you?
Yep. Versus the aliens for planet Earth?
Yeah. So you're saying what one player that made the squad, or just if one player to play
yep.
and I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Brody Grundy.
who'll be starting ruckman, Australian ruckman.
Guaranteed. Starting all Australian ruckman.
Yep.
And he is at a level where if he had to play for planet Earth, I know that he would.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to get out of him.
He's on fire.
You can't stop him. He's a ruckman.
And he's going to get paid. Coco, who will be your.
That's what I think now. Do you reckon Brody's going to get better next year and the year after?
I can't see why not.
So why not pay him now? But why not just pay whatever he wants now before he goes up?
I think the thing is that when you get to a level like what Brody is now, the jumps are smaller.
Yeah. He's elite.
You know, he's already elite. Yeah. So the jumps are smaller, like little increments. He'll still get better, but they're little increments. And opposed to 3 years ago when he like has a breakout season, you're like, oh my God, who's this Brody Grundy guy? He's really good. And then the next year he's like, geez, I didn't know he could do this and he can do that. And you discover all these things. And now we've seen him for so long, 3 years doing it. You're like, wow, he can do all these things.
Yep.
And then eventually it's like, then becomes just expected. But yeah, Brody, mind you, there's a few. Bond.
Yeah.
He's had sort of an underrated season, I think.
He's twice won the best and fairest.
Mm.
This has been his best season.
Yeah.
And he's had hot competition from within his own team. Yeah. Dunkley, McRae, Libba, Hunter.
That's serious good midfield, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
If you take on them further down.
Bont.
Big challenge.
Bont and Brody would be the two for me.
Yep.
Do you reckon they're, I reckon they're Cripper right up there as well. With favourites.
Fifey, Dangerfield.
I reckon. There's a few. Bulldogs are just, now that they're in, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're so dangerous since the bye. What, 8-2 since the bye?
When you think about it, though, any side in the finals, and Bulldogs are hitting it at really good form, any side in the finals, if they get their game going, they'll win. So I mean? So it's a real arm wrestle of, like, how you can take away their game and get yours going. And I know what you're saying, like, the Bulldogs are entering in really good form, but all it takes is one side to stop you going or stop your momentum, and it's gone. It's done. That's why finals are so good. It's so cutthroat.
Run into a roadblock. Let's get your tips before we finish up. West Coast versus Essendon.
Where's that?
Perth.
Perth. Not playing at the MCG. No. I thought a ground capacity would be better at the MCG. More fans to see it.
Look at this guy.
He's not funny.
Cold water's gone to his head.
I think
yesterday.
West Coast will win that.
Oh, margin.
Oh.
We agree with
15
you.
Points.
Oh, it's going to be a big 48 hours of news following an Essendon loss, if it occurs, to see what happens with contracted coach John Worsfold. You guys obviously think you'll beat Geelong on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I've got a sneaky feeling you will. I can't wait for that. That's the game. Your game is the most excited. And I think I'll tip you guys, not just because you're sitting
here.
Thanks, Joe. GWS versus the Bulldogs on Saturday.
It's going to be different from when they played a few weeks ago because they're going to have more forward options, the Giants.
Yep.
But I just think Bulldogs are in too good a form.
Yep.
But I think it'll be really, really close. Like, I reckon it'll be, was it 2016 prelim?
2016
I'm seeing
prelim.
That again. 2016 prelim. I'll say dodge by 4 points.
You agree, Coco?
That 2016 prelim was one of those ones where you remember where you were.
Yep.
Dogged by four.
And finally, Brisbane versus, I mean, still can't believe that West Coast lost to Hawthorn the other night. But who you got, Brisbane, Richmond at the Gabba?
I think Richmond. There's probably I don't know what the market is, but I just think.
You got the update, Jack.
Yeah.
Let me ask Steve-o.
I think it's going to be, it's a different ball game up there.
Well, it's at a different ground.
Different ground. Where's that at, the Gabba?
Yep.
Yeah.
They adjusted. Did you watch the game?
After quarter time.
After quarter time,
it was a really close game. The Brisbane.
You reckon they gained more than they lost out of the loss?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. They know what to expect. They know, they see each other, they get another look.
Yeah.
But then Richmond also, the other side of it is everyone's like, oh, Richmond didn't really gain much. Well, they got to look at what Brisbane do well and how they can take that away or some of the things they didn't quite expect. So
I think they did make a change.
I think Richmond will win that by.
And me.
I don't know. For some reason, I just see the strengths of both sides, and I think it's going to be 10 points. Like, I think that's going to go down to the wire. And then I just feel like they're Tom Lynch or Dustin Martin or something, just that little bit of magic.
Rewalt was hot early with four goals. I think Dimmer makes one change. He puts Graham Hardnut Tagger to Lockie Neal around the stoppage, and I think he's going to get 51 up at the Gabba this week.
Yeah,
not bad. Who do you think outside of Bucks is best coach this year?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Clarko?
Yeah.
Fags?
Papa Smurf Fagan?
Fagan's done pretty well.
Is he a coach of the year?
From where? Like Fagan.
Five wins last year, Brisbane.
Chris Scott taking his side from where they were last year to top. I don't know. Yeah, there's that many good coaches like Dimmer, 7-6. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's almost like the so who's tight. The shiny new toy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's to play with. Whereas, like,
well, it's always based on pretty much the increase up the ladder.
Bevo,
reward excellence.
What were Bevo? They were 5-8, weren't they?
Yep. In a hole.
They are now best scoring side last month.
Next step, mate. We're going to talk about your magnificent 299 game career, which hits 300 in a huge final, Geelong versus Collingwood, the MCG, 85,000 people at least. I'm going to be there, can't wait for a cocker. You're coming along, maybe not in that purple shirt though.
Just cotton wool yourself this week.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Just
you and your weird injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Jock and Jerno show. We're at the George, of course, 162 Collins Street, just scoffing down some of those fat cut chips. They're magnificent. The Carlton boys enjoyed a good night here on Saturday night. I think they were well behaved, partied long into the night. Right. Where else would you come other than the George? Five time. Might be 6 time, 5 time next time we speak to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank
off.
You. Cheers.
Coco, magnificent purple as always.
Oh, cheers, man.
Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you.